This is the book that Kate and I are going to be talking about today. I think, was this the first book that was published by Hay House of theirs?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah. 2005? Yeah. Is it 2005? Oh. 2004. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how it was for everybody else, but as soon as I'd hear that a book was coming out, I'd go reserve it for myself on Amazon.com. And this book was a real treat to reread because so much of it still rings true. Every page has a little nugget on it. And this starts out with kind of an overview of how Abraham came to public knowledge. And it was a story I hadn't heard before until I read this book. And it started ostensibly in the physical in 1984 when Jerry was interested in going and getting a reading from a woman named Sheila. And he'd been saving up questions ever since he was a child. I don't know if any of you save up questions, but I've got quite a few myself that I've been saving up. And so I can imagine Jerry with that long list in his head, all excited. So he and Esther went to get a reading. It was a half an hour reading, and he spent the entire time asking questions and having them answered. And Esther said, "Boy, wouldn't it be nice if we went back tomorrow?" So they went back the next day, and Jerry spent 15 minutes asking questions. And then Esther got a chance to ask a question. And the question she asked was, "How can we more effectively achieve our goals?" And the answer from Sheila, who was actually channeling an entity called Theo, was through meditation and affirmations. And so Jerry and Esther began to meditate together. And the affirmation that they used, in addition to the meditation, was, "I see and draw to me through divine love those beings who seek enlightenment through my process. The sharing will elevate us both now." And of course, the rest is kind of history. As Esther meditated, her body became numb. She felt a lot of pleasure in connecting with source energy as she meditated. And her teeth would buzz in the beginning, and then I guess she began to spell out words sometime in November of 1985, spell out words with her nose, and that's when they first got the name Abraham. They said, I am Abraham. And I guess since 1986, they've been traveling all over the world, and they've got all kinds of, not only books, CDs, they've got downloads, there's numerous lists on the web, listservs on the web. I mean, the growth has been phenomenal, and it hasn't stopped. So just those questions that Jerry asked from childhood drew in this enormous response in the form of Abraham. So people, you may be wondering, well, what is Abraham? Abraham is, in their own words, is not a singular consciousness as you feel that you are in your singular bodies like you as Kate alone. They're really multiple entities. Abraham is a collective consciousness. There is a non-physical stream of consciousness. And as one of you asked the question, there are many, many points of consciousness that are funneling through what feels to be one perspective. Because in this case, it's one human, Esther, who's interpreting or articulating it. So it appears singular to you. We are multidimensional and multifaceted and certainly multi-consciousness. And I think there are many entities there. And I think, didn't somebody ask once if Ernest Holmes was part of the collective? And the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. Ernest is one of them. So
Andy Howard asked that.
She did? Mm-hmm. Okay. So the next question the book seeks to answer after introducing Abraham and how Abraham came to be is, who are we? And the book was actually written to kind of quicken within us the memory of our unfathomable power. And they meant to remind us that we are source energy focused in a physical body. And we can't be separated from what they call the stream of well-being or all that is, or God. So that no matter how we may be feeling at any given moment, there is always this part of us that is wholly connected. And there is also nothing that we could possibly desire in this life that can't be ours. And we're born knowing that we are magnificent creators. So to kind of sum it up in Abraham's words, you are a summoner of vibrational energy. You are consciousness. You are energy. You are vibration. You are electricity. You are source energy. You are creator. And you are on the leading edge of thought. The book boils down the whole philosophy of creation or law of attraction into three steps. There's the easy one is I ask, which is my work or your work. And by asking, we mean that we express a preference, we're observing something, we're always asking. If I look at Kate's pink outfit and I admire that, in a way I'm summoning source energy. I'm appreciating it. And all the things that we focus our attention on, whether they're you know, like in the summer, if we're paying attention to a drought, we get more drought. Or if we focus on the beauty of a baby smile, we get more of that kind of energy in our life. The second step is very familiar to those of us that know the five steps of treatment. It's the law part. It's the part that it automatically gives whatever we ask for. So every prayer, every wish, every intention we have is in some way granted. And then the third step, and this is the part that really is the work for most of us, is to tune into the frequency of our desire. And it's almost as though, for instance, we decide we want to watch Leave It to Beaver. And Leave It to Beaver is only on Channel 7, but we turn on the television and it's tuned to Channel 6. And we can't somehow watch Leave It to Beaver unless we get the channel tuned properly. And so that, in a nutshell, is the work that we need to do. And Kate's got a bunch of exercises, I believe, loaded up for us to do to help us tune in. And I wanted to bring something in from my own experience because I thought, you know, step three, the allowing or the receiving part is incredible, because a lot of times when we open our arms to receive, it doesn't look like what we think it's going to be. And for me, what I've needed to learn is that just open your arms and receive it anyhow. And I was thinking back to how about 10 years ago, I was in a job that I hated. I was running a project that I thought was meaningless, and I didn't know how to get out of it. Well, I was taken out. And I was taken out in a way that wasn't real pleasant. But as it was happening, I just said to myself inside, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. Now, those words to you may seem a little bit inappropriate for the particular time, but I had just begun getting into Abraham at that time, and I knew that if I opened up a little crack for you know, energy to flow through me, the crack would open up and the flow would become broader and broader. And so sure enough, shortly afterwards, I was given the opportunity to do an inventory of the types of things I wanted to do for my work, which was really helpful. And I focused on the skills and interests that I have, and I ended up, they paid for another master's degree for me. I became a practitioner. I mean, it's like the floodgates opened up, and it just took that little crack. And so it reminded me of Michael's song, that he sang, which is releasing, letting go. Well, sometimes that letting go is the thing that allows the new things to flow in that we want. So, turn it over to you, Kate.
Thanks. What I thought I was going to do first was talk about the second half of the book, where Abraham does describe 22 processes for raising your vibration, but first they synopsize the practicality of manifestation or some of the structure behind it. The first thing to know is that everything that comes to you is the response of thoughts you are thinking. And we are all in tune with that. Your habit of resistant thought is the only thing that ever keeps you from allowing the things you desire. If you do not do something that causes a different vibrational offering, then nothing in your experience can change. The processes have been designed to help you gradually release any patterns of resistance. You didn't develop all this resistance at once, so it's going to take some time to release the resistance. And in raising your vibration by using the exercises, your friends or those who observe you will be amazed at the things they begin to see happening in your experience and the joy you will obviously be radiating. There are no hard and fast rules about which process is best to apply for a specific time. Some of the processes will assist you in focusing your desire more clearly, causing your point of attraction to be stronger. But if you're in the midst of summoning great resistance, if you're in a funk, then a process that would cause you to summon more energy could actually be counterproductive. Let your emotions be your guide. You are, without exception, experiencing emotional responses to your life experience. And these emotions are key to knowing which process would be best for you to utilize right now. The 22 processes, generally speaking...
Those are the ones in the back of the book, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. The better you feel, the more the lower numbered processes will be of benefit to you. And the worse you feel, the more the higher numbered processes will be of use to you. And then we have... in yellow, it is Abraham's absolute promise to you that your life will improve with the application of these processes. For you cannot apply the processes without improving the way you feel. And you cannot improve the way you feel without releasing resistance and thereby improving your point of attraction. And when you improve your point of attraction, the law of attraction must bring you powerful evidence of your shift in vibration, which is why you do the exercises. I like having an absolute thought. The processes have been designed for the powerful reason of helping you realign with the energy that is really you, with the added side benefit of helping you achieve anything you've ever desired. It makes no difference whether you're focusing on the past, the present, or the future. At all times, you're focusing energy, and your point of attention or focus is causing you to offer a vibration that is your point of attraction. There are two surefire ways to understand what your vibrational offering is. One, notice what's happening in your experience, because what you're focused upon is manifesting. They're always a vibrational match. And two, notice how you feel. You must be consciously aware to be a deliberate creator. Deliberate creator is an Abraham term. Deliberate creation is about deliberately guiding your thoughts in good feeling directions. You will feel the satisfaction of deliberately choosing a good feeling thought, and then you will enjoy observing the good feeling manifestation that must follow. And on another topic, which people often ask, is... trying to control other people to get them to think this thought so that they manifest what I want them to manifest. In response to that,
is that like trying to get guys to like you or trying to get your mother to act better?
You're trying to get your mother.
There is always another uncontrollable circumstance when trying to control others. You have no creative power within the lives of others, for they are offering their own vibration. Deliberate creation is about choosing a thought that feels good when you choose it, which causes the condition to change. For example, unconditional love is really about wanting so much to remain in connection with your source of love that you deliberately choose thoughts that allow your connection, no matter what manifestations may be happening nearby. And when you are able to control your point of attraction by deliberately choosing better feeling thoughts, the conditions that surround you have to change. The law of attraction says that they must.
Yes.
So we like this guarantee. another point is that you can only attract within your vibrational range. It's not possible for you to find and hold a thought if your current vibrational set point is very different from that thought. You only have access to thoughts whose vibrations are somewhere in your current vibrational range. It is possible to make small jumps, but it's difficult or even impossible to make large ones. So what you did by saying that being dismissed from that job was the best thing to ever happen in your life, well, that was a far reach. I don't know how you had access to that thought. Contrary to the rule here.
Yeah, you're right. I shouldn't have done that.
The purpose of these processes is to release your resistance. Your current vibrational state of being is one that varies from person to person and time to time, so you will know only by the way you feel as you experience the process whether it's the right one for you to be doing right now. Over time, you have come to feel certain ways about certain things. That would be your emotional set point. The processes, like we said, are numbered 1 to 22, and the better you feel right now, the closer you are in vibrational alignment to your own source of well-being, and the more effective the lower numbered processes will be. And the funkier, that's not their word, the funkier you feel, the higher the number of the process will have to be in order to bring you back into alignment.
So that means if I don't feel too good, I got to go to number 22?
Yes. that number one is, I think number one is a rampage of appreciation. So if you're feeling really funky, it's going to be pretty hard for you to go, what I really appreciate is this and this, and I love this, and I love this, and I love this. Because if you're kind of funked out, you're going to need to come back to some more basic truths.
Okay.
The purpose of each process is to release your resistance. The purpose of each process is to find relief from resistance. Or the purpose of each process is an improved feeling. Purpose of each process is to improve your emotional set point. So it's all about raising your vibration. And if you choose a process and after a few minutes with it you don't feel better or as good or better than when you start, then that's not the right process. Choose another one, because you are the creator of your reality. Now, what the heck is a process or an exercise or a game? One of the early ones that Abraham came up with and that I have a lot of experience with, Connie has a lot of experience with, and Judy probably does, is the placemat process. And it's called the placemat process because it literally started in a diner on a paper placemat. And in this process, you take that piece of paper, you draw a line down the middle, and on this side you write, I just write me. I think I'm supposed to write things I will do or things... What am I supposed to write?
What I'm in charge of?
Yeah, okay. Thank you. And on the other side of the paper, you write the universe, which is things the universe is in charge of. And then you just think of what do you desire. And I can only talk about it in terms of examples. and so the things that you desire are, you need to get to work on time, and you need to get that project done, and you need to make your bed. and on the other side, the things that you want the universe to do are, can be really specific, or the one that most people I know have done is find me the perfect mate and the perfect house and restore my health and give me lots of money and give me, and you can be specific, give me more money than I can sensibly spend and give me free housing and give me a new car that feels luxurious when I'm driving it. Give me a car that's safe. Give me a car that's a 5-speed with a sunroof. You can be as specific as you want on this side, asking the universe for what you want. And the universe has been taking notes all through your life about what you're interested in, what you like. So it's pretty much got the deal of how to line it up. And if you don't tell it how to do that, you just say, this is what I want, work it out. And then on your side, if you do this each day, you would do the things that you're in charge of that you're actually going to do that day, so you can have the satisfaction of writing it down, making a commitment to yourself, and fulfilling it and getting that satisfactory feeling. Am I doing all right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, because I this weekend I've moved my stuff from storage to Ed's house, and it's been a year and a half we've been together, but living together, but amongst the stuff I found were placemats from 2001. That said, please find me a joyful, intimate, loving, and fulfilling relationship with a straight single man my age who is my ideological hero and my intellectual champion.
And
I just put out there exactly what I wanted.
Wait a minute.
Yeah?
Kate, you were really sick at that time.
In 2001, yeah, I didn't know for sure I was headed towards a liver transplant, but...
You knew you needed something.
I needed something.
And and through all of that came a mate? Wow.
Yeah, you just put the universe in charge, you know, and more money than I could reasonably spend hasn't happened yet, but enough money so I don't have to worry about it anymore. When there were times when I was very worried, but now it's like, no, now there's money for luxuries like tithing. Is there anything else I want to say about this, or were we going to have people try to do this? What were we going to do?
I think it would be really fun to try it, because you did a great job of explaining.
Okay.
Better than I've ever seen written down.
Yeah.